Hi, everybody. It is August 6th, 2020, and this is our sixth call in our Story Mastery series, Create the Stories That Build Your Business. And we are going to begin today in Shavasana. And we're going to do Shavasana and a bit of breath work today. We have two questions on deck about breath work. So I just want to take it a little further, and let me just share what the questions are with you, so we've got a context for this. All right, so as you're settling into lying down or a seated meditation, if you can't lie down, let yourself be comfortable, lie on your back, close your eyes, and you can just listen to what the questions are that are around this. So Wendy asks, one of the pieces of my morning routine is breathing in true statements that remind me of the truths of who I am. Do you have any specific breathwork exercises that would be helpful in really allowing me to ground the feelings of these statements in my body? Thanks in advance. And then Mary Kay asks, would you please show more about the breathwork you mentioned at the yoga retreat? I remember you saying ask about this if you wanted to know more. So breathwork. The thing I want to say first about using specific breathwork exercises that would be helpful in grounding in particular statements. I just want to give a quick context for this. That's that when we do breathwork, when we do Shavasana, when we quiet the mind in these different ways, our mind, body, spirit is just so much more receptive. We've quieted that monkey mind. There's all this chatter out there in the world, so we can't even hear ourselves. We can't even, find that intuition, that deeper knowing, that, that place where the best decisions come from and that inspired action because of all the noise. So the breath work in Iyengar yoga, which is the tradition that I come from, as you may recall, it's a very deep practice and has many layers. We're not even allowed to teach it until we've been teaching and training for, probably by the time we get to 8 or 9 years, then we can start a very intensive study. We can start teaching breath work. So what can we do in a few minutes here to help guide you with this? The breath work that we do in yoga allows us to access a deeper quiet. It allows us to calm the mind in a deeper way, and it's a more subtle and refined practice than the postures in yoga. So the Wendy, if you have a deeper level question about, or like a follow-up question, please ask the next time around, because it's like, well, what specifically should I, what kind of breath work should I do for these particular statements? I just want to say instead, the breath work itself allows for whatever we want to both land more deeply in us and also to connect with something bigger than us, so that other things emerge inside of us that we might not even have known we had access to, whether it's our highest self, God, intuition, the universe, whatever you call that force. The breath work will get us there. And to teach more details about this, kind of beyond the scope of this series, But we do have very specific breathwork techniques, some to raise energy, some to calm us down, some to create different kinds of mind states. And all of it, here's what I want to say for us here, all of it is built on the preliminary practice of Shavasana. Shavasana is both a high-end practice and it's the ground point. It's the starting point for any of the breathwork that we do. Let me see. Anything else that I want to tell you? And hopefully you're just lying down with your eyes closed, just letting these words drop in right now. I know it's a bit of head knowledge right now. Anything else I want to say? Yes, of course, because this is Story Mastery. And what I want to say in connection to story about both Shavasana and the breath work is this. If in story, our character, our protagonist has a desire and they're thwarted at every turn and they bump into bigger and bigger obstacles. So the pull of story is that desire and then the stuff that gets in the way and the conflicts that arise. we can think of the breathwork and Shavasana as our life antidote to all that. And I get caught up in the stuff, and then this thing gets in the way, and all of that becomes easier for us when we unplug and tap into the breath in this way. All right, so that's the context for the Story Mastery series, why this fits in here. That's the context for, how do I have those affirmations go in further? It's not one technique, it's just keep learning at a deeper level about the breath work. And if you want to take it deeper, work, you could do this if you're doing private work with me, you can ask for that. And also you can keep asking questions and also work with an experienced teacher. The breath work is more powerful than we know. So again, just lie there, just let these words drop in like rain, and then we're actually going to do the practice. My own Iyengar teacher, she was working with an inexperienced teacher. And this breath work, what it does is the breath is not a conscious thing, it's unconscious. And when we bring it to consciousness, when we're actually controlling the breath, other unconscious things can bubble up. And she did some intensive breath work, arms up and breathing really rapidly for minutes and minutes on end. And it had wonky effects for people because they didn't study with a trained teacher. I say that not to scare you, but to let you know how powerful this breath work is. We're only just barely scratching the surface in the first few minutes here. If you want more, keep asking more questions about this. It has to do with unplugging the conflict, unplugging the obstacles to desire so that in our life story, it doesn't have to be so hard. Right? So what happened to my teacher is they were doing this crazy, crazy breath work. She ended up in emergency, and she couldn't even hold a cup for several months and couldn't take care of her kids. That's the negative effects of it when we don't do it well. I'm telling you that because powerful things can have powerful side effects. We take a strong medicine, it has side effects. We study breath work with an untrained teacher, and all kinds of unconscious stuff can bubble up. I'm trained for years and years in Iyengar yoga. I've taught much higher level breath work than what we're going to do here. And what we're doing here is safe and more powerful than I have words to say. Right? So breath work is built on Shavasana. Breath work is a deep practice that can allow us to unplug the conflict and craziness. Breath work gives us that space and time to listen into something that is deeper, that we may be so busy listening to all that noise in our minds that we don't have access to it. And characters need to do that in our stories too. They need a moment where they come to a higher level, and this grounds this practice right in our bodies. All right, enough theory of why we do it. By now, hopefully you've been lying down, closing your eyes, just letting my words drop in like rain. And from this place, we begin the practice itself. Just make sure you're lying on your back and comfortable. If that's not comfortable for you, I don't think I've ever said this before, or not very often, you can lie on your side. Be comfortable first. There's many different ways that we lie in Shavasana. The classic one is lying on our back with the arms in a low V, palms up position, the legs a comfortable distance apart, the back comfortable. And if tension drives stories, the practice of Shavasana is about releasing that tension. Tension, rising conflict, the things getting in the way of our desires. Shavasana is the antidote. Let the eyes be softly closed. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain, allowing the mind to become quiet. Let the ears recede toward the back brain as well. So just let the hearing be passive. You're not trying to pull sound in. You're not trying to do anything with my words. Just let the senses recede to the back brain. So that you're not trying, you're not doing, you're not efforting. Simply allowing and receiving. Just receiving without effort the sound of my words. Receiving without effort this next breath. And just notice the breath. Just notice, what's the breath like today? Is it high in the chest or low in the belly? Is it deep or shallow? Ragged or smooth? Just notice. Can you notice, this is key, without judgment? Did any part of your mind say, oh, look, I'm breathing shallowly and I shouldn't. Let me try to make it different. Just notice, your breath is your breath. It's perfect just the way it is. Can you just be present in this moment? Notice how the breath is without that added layer of judgment. Clarity of thought. Watching the breath. Seeing what is. Most entrepreneurs fail at this multiple times in their day. You can't see what is because we're way too busy running around. See what is. Watch the breath. And as we lie in Shavasana, and you can do this on your own for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, deeper and deep, accessing deeper and deeper layers of quiet. When we first start, often the mind is quite busy. Don't try to force it quiet. Just take the time to let the mind become quiet of its own accord, because you're not paying attention to the thoughts. You're just watching the breath and allowing time to let those thoughts just fade away, because you're not paying attention to them. You're paying attention to the breath. And over a few minutes, sometimes more time, sometimes less time, the breath settles into its natural breath rhythm. So we've been here for a while. You've been listening to the sound of my voice, just lying down and receiving the words. And by this time, you've probably found your natural breath rhythm today. And again, observe, just notice what it is. Don't judge. Maybe you're breathing more into one lung than the other. Have you noticed that before? Maybe so. Maybe as you focus on it, not because you're trying to change the breath, but just because you're focused on it, the breath is already changing of its own accord. Notice the difference between trying to change the breath and allowing it to change. Just because you're watching it. Two very different actions with very different results in our lives. Watch the breath. And once we've found this natural breath rhythm, once we've given time for the mind to quieten, we can start to play with the breath. In Iyengar yoga, this is a more advanced technique. In the Yoga Sutras, we're taught that we're supposed to, we can start the breath work when we've achieved perfection in the postures. Well, if we all did that, we would never start. And we're going to just do some very simple breath work today that you can start. I've done this with little kids to huge effect. Very simple. So just watching the breath, see that this is your own natural breath rhythm. And all the breath work begins first by observing, being in a quiet state. If there's any tension anywhere in the body or mind or spirit, don't take it any further. Just relax those places that are tense. And that is your best practice. Just be in Shavasana. Notice maybe there's tension in your shoulder, your back, your jaw. Breathe into that spot. Let the tension go. You can get off the bus wherever you want. Just get off the bus at, I'm going to let the tension go and watch the breath. That's perfect practice for today. And then if you are in a state where you feel the body at ease, the mind just focused on the breath, you can take it this step further. I've done this with the kids many times and with many adults. Inhale, just do a normal inhalation. And then as you exhale, exhale through pursed lips as though breathing through a straw. This just allows the exhalation to gently lengthen of its own accord. So inhaling normally through the nostrils, exhaling through pursed lips as though breathing through a straw. Do a few of these breaths as I'm speaking here to you in your own time. And pay attention. If any tension arises anywhere in the body, anywhere in the mind, to signal from the body to let go of the practice and just return to Shavasana. Go back to just lying and breathing. Nothing fancy. How soon can you notice that's happened? How soon will you allow yourself to return to that breath and not try so hard? It's about untrying, right? Inhaling through the nostrils, exhaling through pursed lips. You can intersperse a couple normal breaths if you want. The breath work undoes that fight or flight response. When we're in a panic place, our breath quickens and shortens. We're undoing that here through starting with the breath. And as we lengthen that exhalation, hopefully you've done this a couple times now. Did you notice that the inhalation just naturally lengthens of its own accord? We didn't have to do anything with it. We breathe through a straw on the exhalation. The inhalation naturally lengthens of its own accord. We're just going to do this first introductory breath practice today. And then just notice, just with these few breaths, has your natural breath rhythm changed at all? No judgment, just see what is. Maybe the breath is a little longer now, not because you tried to make it so, you just followed this simple technique. Maybe it's a little more even. Maybe it's not. It's okay, whatever it is. Can you just see the before and the after without judgment? This place of naturally, gently lengthened inhalation, lengthened exhalation, is where the practice of breath work begins in Iyengar Yoga. So I'm taking you to the place where we begin. And we can practice this just to the beginning place for a year or many years, and we'll derive huge benefit just from this practice. It's huge. So just notice the breath. Allow the breath to deepen. And then slowly coming out of Shavasana in your own time. Bend the knees, roll to the right side. Take your time here in this in-between place. Don't rush. Much of our life is lived in that in-between place, where we left off from and where we're headed to. That's where story happens. Can you just be here? Not needing to get to the next place, not longing, not being sad that you left the place you left. Even mind, even tempered, at ease. Softly open the eyes. Use your hands to press yourself up to sitting. And return to our virtual circle. Camera on whenever possible. And if you're listening to the recording later, either for the first or the second or the third time, always do the actions that I'm suggesting here. Do the exercises, answer the questions, be the first one to raise your hand. If you're listening afterwards, you'll get more out of it that way. The more you participate, the more it'll go into your cells. So coming back to a camera on whenever possible, that will also let me know that you're actually still here with me, that our tech is working. Thank you, Barb. Then I know we're still here together. And Andrea and Wendy, aka Ms. Divinity, love it. Jamie, welcome back. All right. Always training our mind to focus on what we love. What a powerful process for this COVID-19 social distancing, mask-ridden, not a lot of travel world. Whatever's going on, 100 things, and I might not like 99 of them, but there's one that I love. And the more I practice this over and over and over again, other people will see all that stuff and you don't even see it. Because you're focused on that one thing that is beautiful, that one thing you love, that one thing that opens to the next possibility. And it creates that completely different life. We start here. This person is noticing the one thing they love, two completely different lives, the one up here, the one down here. If you get what I'm saying by that, focus on what we love and what we focus on expands. I focus on the one thing I love. Raise your hand. Did you get that? Y'all heard that today? Okay, great. In this practice, let's hear from one or two of you. What did you love today? Yeah, Wendy.
I don't know if you can tell me what this means, but I feel like lately when I've been in a relaxed state, I can feel the energy of, like, around my ears. I can feel like, I don't know how to explain it, but almost like a, I feel the energy. So I have been loving, I remember when I first started into all of this, it was so foreign to me. And I was like, what are these people even talking about?
And now so I feel like today is not, you're not alone. Okay. You can flow of it. And now you're saying, Wendy?
Yeah. I just feel like I'm starting to understand like that there really is all this energy that's moving around us. And that as we relax and as we calm down, we can tap into all of that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And you know, you all heard Wendy, because she's got story elements in what she said. She wasn't thinking consciously of them, but you know, a story starts off in an ordinary world and then something kicks us out of that ordinary world. Like Luke, it's like, oh my goodness, my uncle and aunt are gone. I have to go do, right? And Wendy just had bits of story structure in there. Did y'all hear that? It's a different point, but I couldn't help myself, right? Wow, I used to be in my world and then this thing happened. I didn't know what was going on, but now I'm on a journey and I've learned something new and I could even bring it out to the world. There's the hero's journey in short form, right? We talked about what the hero's journey was and its limits and how it's connected with character desire. Anyway, I'm off into some of material for today. I want to pull myself back. Wendy, beautiful. Thank you. Pull myself back to the one point, otherwise you won't hear it. So I digressed over there, but I want to take us back to the breath work. And so it's happening at a deeper level for you. Fantastic. And also, so I'm feeling this weird stuff around my ears. And man, as you go deeper into this practice, I'm just going to tell you all kinds of things can emerge. And just the yogis just teach us, it's just a sign that you're on the path. So just notice it, appreciate it, and then let it go and just keep going. Because the yogis say it can take us off our path. It's like, wow, this thing is happening. So I want to make it happen now in this next time around, and then we get lost. That's cool. That happened. And if you do some readings around meditators and yogis and so on, you can read all kinds of like stuff that will happen and light and all kinds of, you know, all kinds of things that people experience. And your experience is your own. That's and if you go, wow, that didn't happen to me, I must be doing it wrong. Like, just notice that too. Right? No, nothing's gone wrong. Like, lots of cool things happen. Energy is flowing in a deeper way than I can express with words. Thank you, Wendy. Beautiful. Let's hear from one more of you. What did you love, Mary Kay?
Well, that breath work this time, it was easier. Well, not easier. It just happened. It went out all the way out to the tips of my fingers and the tips of my toes, and there was less. What's the right word? There was it kept going. There wasn't as much me there. It just went out.
Yeah, beautiful. It's actually the words fail us when we try to talk about what's happening here, right? And then in stories, we try to put words to some what's sometimes hard to even express, but we experience it first. Like these, what Wendy said and what Mary Kay said come from direct experience. This is going to relate to our subject matter for today. All right. It relates to the direct experience we have. Like we've had that experience and then we can try to express it, right? Profound teachers are like that, for instance. It's like we can teach all this stuff that's head knowledge, but I haven't experienced it yet. And it's all gonna sound shallow and hollow. Instead, Wendy and Mary Kay are both starting from the experience, trying to find words to express it. And all the ways we find words to express it, we're gonna talk more about that today, all right? But it comes from that experience. And one of the experiences that I hear Mary Kay describing is like, well, as we go deeper into Shavasana, that it's an experiential knowing. The words don't do it justice, but it's like the separation between me and others physically dissolves. And then if, for some of you go, oh, that's really, you know, it's really weird or whatever. It's like, then just take it on faith that there's something that is about relationship and connection that happens when I let go of all the chatter. That's a kind of everyday way to put that. And when I can actually embody and feel that deep connection with myself and the earth around me and therefore the universe and people around me, I felt it in my body, then I walk into a strategy session, I'm going to be a different person. So that's like that's not an introductory teaching. If some of you are going, man, that's real weird, Michelle, it's okay. Just go, you know, like Wendy said, well, that was really weird, you know? So I'm like, and now she's going, oh, wow, now I get it, right? So if it's really weird to you, don't worry about it. Just choose the piece that you love the most from that and take that home. And I just want to know if people, if you're hearing this, all right? Comes from many years of study and practice. I'm trying to cram it into, I mean, you can hear my editor around that, right? Cram it into half an hour, right? But instead of cramming it in, like give you one piece that you can take that's practical, right? And so if you heard something of, if some part of that made sense, that I understood what Mary Kay said, that like somehow that dissolved the difference between me and the floor. And that if it's stopping the separation, our world out there with COVID-19 is filled sometimes with separation, you know? People against each other or dividing each other, like there's that too. And if something inside my practice can dissolve that, they're right at a level of rates inside my body, inside myself, that might make a difference in the world or in how I relate to people. If that idea at least makes sense to you, raise your hand, because I want to see how many of you I'm reaching with what I said. Okay. And if you're going, yeah, okay, so you know, almost all of you are raising your hands, so that's great. And if not, go back and listen to it again, reach out in a connection call with somebody, and different people will hear it at different times, all right? The one piece that I want to give you that's practical, if you're not hearing this, and this is in response to the questions, two very powerful questions about breath work, interestingly from Wendy and from Mary Kay, who are the ones like, I love pieces that I like, right? So it arose from those questions. Here's the practical thing that I can give you. Anybody ever feel anxious even once about something in your business or your life since, I don't know, March? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you. So what I just gave you is gold. This tool, I've taught it to little kids in family yoga classes, like, I don't know, 15 years ago, right? And the moms would go, oh my goodness, because all these kids had this bouncy, crazy energy. And they would just settle down into these like momentary little angels, right? It like unplugged that fight or flight. If it could do that for bouncy little kids, what could it do for us? And as I taught it in, you know, a deeper series that was all about that, right? In many, many classes that I've taught before, people started putting a straw in their glove compartment in their cars. You could do this too, actually breathing through a straw, exhaling through a straw. So if none of that made any sense, try that out. Now, I know we got to think about straw. Is it clean? I don't know. Make sure your hands are clean. Put it in a plastic bag that's clean. I don't know. Get a new straw the next time, or don't do it in your car. Put it in your office, whatever, right? Be safe. But all those conditions are the, you know, anxiety provoking conditions, again, tell us how important this practice is. How do we breathe when we're anxious, right? The breath work. So we have that anxiety in our mind, heart, spirit, and it affects the breath. We can unplug it by starting with the breath, changing the breath, and it changes our mental, emotional, spiritual state with a straw. Think about doing that before you walk onto stage, for example. Right? So even if all the rest of that was kind of like, I don't get what we're doing here, Michelle, try the straw. Watch what happens in your life, right? And many more physiological things that happen too. I mean, Iyengar, I'm just going to mention this, just like Iyengar yoga. Mr. Iyengar did, he didn't do any like running or anything like that. He did nothing cardiovascularly, like nothing. He just did yoga. And the breath work was what he did before his lungs. And they measured the doctors were so interested in studying him, right? So they measured his lung capacity. I can't remember. It was in his 70s or something. And they said he had, I might have the details wrong, but the essence is right. In his 70s, he had the lung capacity of like a 30-year-old athlete, something like that. And all he did was breath work that's built on the basics of what I just taught you. So it's also like, wow, you want to have stamina for the work that you do as an entrepreneur. And this I can tell you too, from my own experience, I remember having practiced the breath work for a number of years. I was playing in a swimming pool with my daughter when she was about six. She's 21 now. So I'd already been practicing for many years. And I never could hold my breath underwater at all. And it just dawned on me because I was just playing chase with her and, you know, I was underwater in what seemed like forever. I didn't need to come up for air, you know? And I only went afterwards, right, I've been practicing this pranayama for years. It has many physiological effects as well. So thank you, Mary Kay. Thank you for Wendy for asking the question. Beyond the scope of what we can do here, but as it relates to story mastery, stories, interestingly, are about, remember I said, was it last call, that in this series, that stories are, they came about in response to survival. Remember, life was brutish and short through most of our history. And so if we learn from our own experience, it's like, wow, don't pause in front of a saber-toothed tiger, you know, whatever that saber-toothed tiger was. Because if I do, I'll get eaten. Oops, I learned from my own experience, too late, I'm dead, right? Story carried the experience of others. Now, if we could learn from the experience of others in situations that were crisis-ridden or conflict or dangerous stuff that happened, we could actually survive. And we experience stories. So I think it's where we got to toward the end of last call, was it? I can't remember when it was, but I think that's what it meant when. If we actually experience stories viscerally as though it were us. The scientists know this now. They hook up things to the brain and so on and measure stuff. The same parts of the brain light up as though we were experiencing it. So it's like we get to do it without actually having to do it, you know? That's why testimonials are so powerful, for instance, right? That's why people's stories are so powerful. People actually experience it as though they were the hero of that journey. We so identify with the characters, our brain lights up, right? So if stories are about helping us to survive in all that stuff that happens, because life feels like that sometimes, the yoga piece of it allows us to unplug that so we can take a more direct route to what we desire, to success and so on. So that's one of the ways they fit together. It's one of the reasons it fits in the series, okay? Did you notice what I just did? I do it without thinking. If I just teach you this and it's not connected with what we're doing, if there's not one point, you're gonna lose interest in the series. Even if I just taught you something that could change your life. So what I just did was, hey, I know we're doing breath work over here, but it's directly connected with how stories work, and here's how, and now we're gonna go back to stories. It's right back to that one point teaching. Can you hear it? I didn't even notice I was doing that. I've been working with stories over 25 years. It just happens to me naturally. You guys are bringing out unconscious competence in me. It's every story is everywhere, all right? So that was my best attempt to bring that in when there are those questions on deck. Thank you. Yeah, Dottie, you got it. Good. All right. So question about breath work. Anything bursting to be said without which we can't go forward? So much I want to share with you today. Oh my goodness.
Can I share a win?
Yes, you go for it. I haven't been asking. I keep forgetting to ask for wins these days. Go share them on the Facebook page too. If I forget here, please share them with each other in connection calls, share them on the Facebook page. Do like Wendy did. It's like, wow, I got a win to share it. Love that. Yes, Wendy, go for it.
So it actually has to do with even more basic breath work. My sweet Oakley, who is 4, has been learning all about emotions, and I've been trying to teach her to feel them. So she was mad the other day, and I said, it looks like you're upset. It looks like you're feeling a little bit angry. Do you need to take a minute and go spend some time in the corner and calm down? She's like, yeah. So she went over to the corner and she was standing there, and Mike and I were just kind of in the kitchen waiting to see what she was going to do. And I was like the proudest mama ever, because all of a sudden I hear her, like, she's kind of roaring like an animal. Like, she's just like getting, like, she's making these noises to roar it out. And then I hear her start singing the Daniel Tiger song. And she's like, when you get so mad that you wanna roar, take a deep breath and count to four. And then I watched her like take that breath and count it out and calm down. And I was just a proud mama.
I love it. Thank you. And you know what? I love it. this breath work is so powerful. It's so powerful. Wendy, can we play just a little bit more with what you said?
Sure.
Fantastic. Because story is everywhere and people hear us when we use story structure, right? So which piece did I want to, we could go down a whole hour on this, but the one piece that I want to add to, it's like I want to add a piece to what Wendy said. I was such a proud mama. Can you hear, like, because my own daughter taught me about why breathwork matters so much. We can learn so much from the kids. Can you see what I just did with Wendy's, with what she said? What she said was beautiful. Why did I just feel like I wanted to add that piece? What she said was beautiful, and like it's not an either or, it's a both and. Why did I want to add a piece? It might be that, or it could have been, I was a proud mama because I've never seen my daughter learn something so fast as she did with the breath work. Made me realize how important this is. Do you hear the little piece that I'm wanting to add to what Wendy is saying? Wendy, why am I wanting to add that?
One point? Like, are you trying, you're bringing it back to the purpose and the point.
Yes. And can you hear that, like, so we're taking a little extra step around the one point, because Wendy's point that she landed on is, I was a proud mama. I love that. And then it allows us to say a little bit more about the point, a little bit more about the theme, because we haven't, we're going to do another piece of that probably today. We'll see. Or maybe next week, because we're always adding on another chunk, because once we've got this next element, we can see more of that last chunk that we did. Okay. So a theme is, I was like, so if you're a proud mama, why does that matter to you? And I gave my examples, but it's inside Wendy to say. So Wendy, will you add one more thought for us? It's like, why does it matter so much to you that you're a proud mama in that moment? Like, was there something you learned? Was there an aha moment? Did something come to you? Like, what moved inside you that made it imperative that you needed to tell us about that? Because it's inside her. We just want to pull out that extra piece because it's just like bubbling up in her. She had to tell. And everything she told it beautifully. I just want to add one more piece.
Yeah. You know, I think that what it really has given me in that moment of like being a proud mama, I was so proud of myself as well, because I was taking everything that I've learned over the last year and like passing it on.
Do you feel how satisfying that is when she says that? Do you get it? Are you guys feeling the satisfaction in that? Because also she just did a whole bunch of story things in that one sentence. Before she said that, who was the hero of the journey? Were you sure?
Oakley appeared to be.
Maybe, but could you say for sure? I don't know. If we're not as sure, the story's not going to land as much. By the time Wendy adds that piece, so all the things that we've already learned about story, right? She adds, like, who's the hero of the journey by the time she says that?
I am.
Yes, Wendy knows, right? As I watched my daughter, I learned, I might not have her exact words, but I got the essence of it, right? I learned that it wasn't that I was proud of her. The real point is that I was proud of myself as I watched my daughter. I realized I've been learning so much, I've been growing so much, and when I watched my daughter, I know it deeper than I've ever known it before. Ha! That was better than my 2 points, wasn't it? Because it came directly from Wendy and what really mattered to her about that. And if you heard how that changes, because what we now have added, we've added who the central character is. Otherwise, there's going to be some part of us that's still waiting for something, or that isn't quite still following it the way we could. It's not going to pack as much of a punch. We're still waiting, right? Like you were waiting for me to make my point about Rick on Tuesday, and you were all drifting, right? Because I didn't make a point, and then everybody will listen for a little while, but if they don't hear that point, they're going to drift. Did it on purpose, right? So Wendy had us, she had us, and it will really land when she comes to that theme, the thing that, you know, why this matters to me, what makes, and the theme also helped us see, right, Wendy's the central character. Got it. And then if she's really landed that story, I feel like, right, you know, there might be some part of me that's activated, right? Like, and it's going to be individual for each person, but it's like, that's right. When I'm proud of Dana, like, it's going to bring up my proud mama moment maybe, right? When I'm proud of Dana, I'm actually proud of me. Oh, I've been on a journey. I can be on a journey. Just like something's going to light up and you might go, but I don't have kids, but it's going to be something else. It might be your dog. It might be your horse. It might be your best friend. I don't know, but there's going to be somebody that you're going to like feel like Wendy in that moment. And then the story lands. All right. Little brief review about some different elements of story that we've done in both our classes. If you could hear why that made a difference when Wendy added that piece to her story, raise your hand. You guys know way more about story than most of the people out there. Go listen to speakers. Go listen, you know, Jamie, does it always happen on stage or do they miss it sometimes, right? You know, even professional speakers. Does it always happen in the emails you're reading? Does it always happen when you're reading some copy? If something is missing, they're missing something about story. Okay. Thank you, Wendy, for that win. And thank you for that chance to do a bit of a review because that's in my notes, but I'd rather review it right here, right now on the cord and how it works in story or how stories, you know, apply to those things that we're doing. Take one moment to jot down one aha. Take one point again. One aha, one thing that you've learned, one buffo moment, a blinding flash of the obvious from this segment for you. So we can tie a little bow on it and move to the next piece. Okay, let's hear just one or two of these, just like one sentence, aha, just let it land so we can tie a little bow on this piece. What did you hear for you? Yep, Dottie.
That I thought you did such a good job in tying it back. The story, why the story was part of the one thing.
Yeah. It's always got to be one thing. Remember that caller about one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing. And how easy it is for it not to happen. And it made it so obvious in that one call, right? If you weren't there, man, you got to go back and listen to it or listen to it again after this call. You'll hear it differently, even if you were there. Always one thing. And then it lands and we could see it on the cord in this example. So thanks, Dottie. Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to ask a little question. My mind did wander away from the one thing. Would it also be, and then it made sense when you told us it, you know, when you tied it in, but would it be even a more powerful thing to say why we're going to share this story in the before telling about the Wendy and her daughter piece?
It's a complex question, and there's multiple answers to that, and we could spend a whole week discussing just that question. It's a great question, all right? So we need something that hooks people, that allows them to listen.
Right.
One way to do it would be to say, hey, something happened with my daughter that made me crazy proud of myself. Strange how that happens sometimes, isn't it? Let me tell you what happened. She could do that. It's one way to hook the audience. And there's multiple other ways beyond the scope of how deeply I want to answer this question. Repost it if you want more of that. Remember, it's like 25 years of work with story. I'm trying to pull out the most important things for you. And we could go down the rabbit hole in any one element, right? But I want to land on what's going to move the needle the most for you that we can immediately apply, all right? So, so just to say that there's other answers to that. She could hook in a different way. She could say, ever feel like your kids know more than you do? I haven't told what the theme of it is yet, but I've asked an enrolling question, the one that, you know, like Jamie's question on Tuesday's call, right? Ever feel like your kids know more than you do? If that's true for you, raise your hand. I had that feeling just today, you know, but I haven't actually told what the theme is yet. right? But it's an enrolling question. So there's multiple ways to open it, but whatever it is, we've got to grab our researcher's attention, and it's probably some element of story that's going to do it.
Michelle, right. I am struggling with the, I am like a black and white thinker. I am struggling with the one thing. If I said, I feel like your kids know more than you do, it seems to me like that's going into another story.
It doesn't have to. And again, this goes beyond the scope of how deeply I want to answer this one, because otherwise this class will feel like it doesn't have one thing and people's attention will start to drift. Can you feel it? Notice that, right? How important the one thing is, right? Okay. And also, I want to serve and support Dottie and then all of you here in this. So the way that I would finesse that would be something like, ever feel like your kids are smarter than you, you know, or like they know more than you, and that was the enrolling question. Then we tell Wendy's story, something like the way she told it. And then we say, you know, and it would be, have to be something like this. I told you I felt like she was smarter than me. Sometimes there's a turn in a story, but you know, maybe it's not even that. As I watched her, I realized it's not that she's smarter, because she did that breath work and I didn't even think of it. I'm the smart one. I'm the proud one. I'm proud of myself. Do you see how like I just made a turn and then led it to the theme? So, and anything can be connected to anything through story. All right. So I just could start over there. And again, beyond the scope of what we're doing with this, about story, there's multiple elements of story. And through the whole year, we're going to be diving into more and more elements of it too, in different components that we're doing. But I want to hit the highlights today. So thank you for that. Thanks for the question, Dottie. If you want more of that, post it for next time. Okay. All right. A couple other questions on deck. And I'm going to answer these, briefly, and Mary Kay, if you want a further answer to it, repost. All right. So Mary Kay says, when you're just talking with people, not strategy calls, how do you know if and when to tell a story about your work? I notice I listen a lot and don't say much about the connection to my work. After the conversation, I realize they didn't get to know about how it might help something they're doing. I'm aware this is part of my story of not speaking, but how do I change this story in this instance? So Mary Kay's got an internal story going on that she outlines, right? And then also it's like, hey, this isn't happening in the way that I want. And the answer is always going to be somewhere there in story. Ask questions. Do they have pain in your area? Are they talking about it? If not, why should they care about what you do? Hey, well, I've been wanting to find some really golden red apples, is the conversation at the table, and I don't have any apples anywhere. Hey, by the way, I help people with their horses. Would you know? Go away, right? Or hey, I help people with their time management. We were talking about apples, right? It's gonna be no place for it. They're talking about apples and they're talking about how anxious they are because they're not gonna be able to find the right apples. And it's like, wow, that's so interesting. One of my clients was talking about that the other day too. They were so anxious that it just like blew, wow, really? Wow, does that happen to you often? Yeah, I get so anxious about things. Oh, well, it's going to lead naturally over here to, I have something that unplugs anxiety. What questions are they asking? Have you dug into their pain yet? Are they the hero of the journey? Story is everywhere. If they're not asking, then there's no desire that's pulling them forward in the journey. And so it's going to come in like left field. And that's like those people like, here's my card. So think of it from, the story perspective. That will give you a start, Mary Kay, on that one. Mary Kay asked another question. If I ask for, and again, if it doesn't answer it or you want more, repost. Just keep reposting. I'll give you one more piece of it, all right? Mary Kay says, if I ask for feedback on my talk, what are some specific questions I can ask them to focus on? So far I have, what part stood out most for you? What do you remember the most? Related to this question, should I invite them to ask questions after the talk? There's no way for me, the only answer to this question is, we need to ask who and why. What's the audience and what's the purpose? Always over and over again, we're gonna ask these questions, right? We talked about that in an earlier call. Remember C-3PO talking to the, you know, nasty uncle? I don't need a protocol droid. Who's the audience? So I don't know what questions that they should focus on unless I know exactly who they are, what matters to them, because I might be, maybe I'm giving my talk to somebody and I want feedback from them. I'm gonna ask them different questions to solicit their best feedback. And even the kind of questions I'm gonna ask is like, well, I'm really nervous about this talk. Will you just tell me what works? I'm really strong about my talk. And I went, wow, you know, like this is going in front of this audience and I need to know. And I've worked it and worked and worked and I'm ready to rework it entirely again. Tell me what's going on. Or I'm asking the audience and like, what's the desire? Is what's my one call to action? Am I wanting them to take a step in the work with me? Am I wanting them to get my free gift? I'm going to ask different questions to probably deepen the pain and deepen the recognition of the pain and deepen the desire for that object. So I got to ask questions about audience and purpose, or there's no way to answer that questions. Should I invite them to ask questions after the talk? Depends on what the talk's for. If the desire is to have them to come and ask questions because you want a small group, and out of that small group, you're going to pull people that you're going to take further, maybe. If it's that you want people to follow whatever the call to action is, you always want that, the get the free gift, then you're going to, you know, how you ask them to ask questions is different. It's like, hey, some of you have questions, like come to this place, this other Zoom room, this small table, this back table, whatever it is, and I'll talk to all of you at once because all of you have questions. Then as I'm answering the questions, I'm going to allow my answers to deepen the pain and deepen their desire and deepen the solution of whatever it is I'm asking for. So without further information, look, my only answer is who's the audience and what's the purpose? And it's another instance of that we think we know, but we go back to that. Always remember C-3PO and the protocol droid conversation. There's a lot going on there. We need to know who we're talking to and why, always. Okay. One jot it down so we can put a little bow around this part of the call. Great, great questions. Thank you for your questions. Keep them coming, because it gives me a chance to illustrate what it is we're doing with story so that we can take it further. And I just pulled it back to that one point again, right? So jot down your aha. Let's hear just one or two of these ahas, just one sentence. Again, so much I want to share with you today. So one quick sentence to put a bow on this piece of it. So something that you learned for you. Now, does this apply? How does this apply to me? Because this is like story in action on the court, right? So let's hear from one or two of you. What's your aha from this piece? What is it that you learned that you can apply to your talk, to your next networking situation, to... Might just be a blinding flash of the obvious. Oh, right, the audience matters and more than I knew. And it sneaks in. Let's hear a couple of ahas. So I want to know you're tracking on this and what just happened. Yeah, Wendy.
I just wrote down the simplicity of who is the audience and what's the purpose. Because as I'm looking at the different stories that I want to tell, like that's really the question to ask yourself is like, who am I going to even tell the story to? And why am I telling the story? And then like that will guide how I tell that story.
Exactly, and that's right from call number one in the story, Stories That Sell Now, right? How to tell the right story, I don't know who I'm telling it to and why am I telling it? And this is so important. Many, many classes that I taught at universities, I would spend an entire first 2-hour class doing a deep dive into exactly what this meant. We've taught it in smaller bits here because there's so much else I want to share with you. And there I had a year, here we've got, you know, 8 weeks, right? But I can't emphasize that enough. Thank you, Wendy. Let's hear one more aha. What else did you learn from this? Because there's a lot of story elements in play here on the court. What did you hear for you? And Jamie, that might have been just you raising your hand, like, you know, but I'm just going to take it as a raised hand. So, and because I want you to trust this moment, I trust this moment. There's something inside you that isn't aha. And if you don't know what it is, trust that as you start speaking, you're going to say it. This is like wonderful training.
Yes, I was itching.
I know. I just took it like nothing. Everything happens for a reason. I just
gotcha. No. Well, I'm going to go back to the same thing because for me, it was a great reminder of as I keep working through this darn speech, always coming back to who is the audience and what is my ultimate goal, right? Because when I get the opener right, the rest of it has to connect and lead to because you and I talked about how you know, the speech leads to, let's do a workshop together, which is maybe leading to some of you will be clients, and why aren't more of them becoming clients? So ultimately, there's something in all of that that I have to get back to that root question of what am I working towards?
Exactly. Thank you. So Jamie's giving us a really, not more nuanced, but a very nuanced application of this. Sometimes down the line, people aren't buying, and we think it's happening there, but it's not. It's happening right at the root of what story is happening. What questions am I asking? What's the purpose? And there's probably a mess up in the purpose over here that's causing this over here. And so I got to tweak it back way back in the series, and even the enrolling questions that I'm asking, because otherwise they're coming forward for the wrong reasons. And then I got to work so hard over here. So thank you, Jamie. Beautiful. Yes, tells me you're hearing.
Michelle.
All right, yeah, Dottie, go ahead.
I'm a little distracted because I want to know who, especially if Andrea and Jamie are going to be with us for a while, I'd like to know who they are and what they do.
You have to go back to listen to the other classes, because we did that in the last couple classes, Dottie.
Jamie also?
Uh-huh. Yep. So you just got to go back. No worries. And you know what, Dottie? Like, but I love the heart in that. It's like, oh, I want to know about you. Beautiful. So no editors there, but thank you. And just like go back and it lets me remind you too, like, I know we're doing two classes a week right now. There's a lot. Whatever you've missed, I encourage you to go back and listen to it, because there's gold in each and every one of those classes, right? And they all fit together. Okay. No problem. So announcements. I totally skipped over announcements, and there's some key ones. So announcements, and then we're going to go to some key training, and maybe a simple exercise too. Yes, there's going to be a simple exercise as well to get to that next component of story that I want to share with you, all right? First, announcements. Please remember to reserve your spot at Story Freedom Online. And it wasn't Amy's fault. I think it was my fault, because I announced it on Tuesday, and I'm like, oh, you guys weren't, you know, it's you all have a ticket to Story Freedom. And So it's September 9th to 11th. Make sure you've got it blocked off on your calendar. And you can register your enhanced access ticket at bit.ly/storyfreedom-student. All right, let me put that in the chat. If you haven't said hi in the chat, by the way, don't forget to do that each time. We talked about that last couple classes. Okay, so that's it. You can go over there, and this is what I forgot from the announcements last time, so which is why it didn't work. Use the promo code STUDENT2020, and that's what it'll take. STUDENT2020.
And STUDENT is capital letters, Michelle. Yes. It's like case sensitive.
Yes. Capital letters, yes. So as I've got it in that, thank you for underlining that, Yvonne. So STUDENT2020. And here's a key thing. When you register by August 13th, you got to register that bonus ticket by August 13th. You'll receive that enhanced access to Story Freedom, which is going to be super cool. It's going to include the recordings of the event. Have we done that before? Anyway, that's only available with the enhanced access, plus a 2-hour exclusive workshop for students only. It's only available to students. And what we're going to be doing is laser coaching on your talk. Give me a 2-page summary, and we're going to do laser coaching. That 1 2-hour session is going to be worth the entire, well, I can't say the entire price of admission, because I'm giving you the ticket, right? But you're not going to want to miss it. Also, remember to book a story strategy call with Yvonne. We've never done this in this way before. Marie's off for the month of August, and Yvonne is here with us. Head over to meetingwithyvonne.com. Yvonne, if you could put that in the chat, meetingwithyvonne.com. And this woman has utterly changed my life, has helped me with my story. You're not going to want to miss this. So you can book that with Yvonne. And then congratulations to Barb, Mary Kay, Wendy, Jamie. You completed the first monthly survey. Good on you, right? Congratulations. The 4 of you are going to receive a facilitated mastermind with Yvonne. It's an additional group call. It's going to be led by Yvonne. Stay tuned for the date for the August call. And let me see. And then there's going to be a raffle winner, right? For completing the first month, you're eligible for a $50 Amazon gift card. I don't have that. Make sure that I do that. I just have it down here that we're going to do that, but I don't know if I've got the raffle in front of me. So one of you who has that, make sure, remind me, keep me honest, all right? So that we make sure that that goes to the right person. So, you know, if you're like, Michelle, you haven't done that raffle yet. And remember, when you complete three consecutive months, we get more prizes as well. So keep handing in those monthly surveys. They're designed to serve and support you in huge, huge ways, and they help us help you. All right, announcements. Any questions about that? All that clear? I wanted to go through them quickly because, again, lots I want to share with you today. All right, so I want you to take 1 minute right now and write about a trash compactor. Don't think, just do a little 1 minute sketch about a trash compactor. And you can start with the trash compactor ... and then just write. Don't think, just write. 1 minute, real quick, go. Keep the pen to the page. Don't stop, just keep the pen to the page. All right, finish up the last sentence. Take it to a place where you can write more about a trash compactor later if you choose to. All right. And I just want to hear snippets, like somebody's trash compactor you want to share. We're just going to spend less than a minute on this. Somebody raise their hand and read what they wrote about a trash compactor. One or two of you. Yvonne, thank you.
Trash compactor. We have one at home and never use it.
Period. Thank you, Yvonne. I love it. Let's hear. So there's trash compactor number one. Let's hear one more. Yeah, Andrea, thanks.
The crunch of the metal made me stop. What the heck was that? The trash compactor wasn't supposed to make that noise. What ended up in there?
Thank you. All right. Two different trash compactors. Let's hear one more. I think one more will help us get this. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, Wendy.
The trash compactor. Who knew a trash compactor had the ability to mesmerize six kiddos? So much so that there was a first time use party to see the compactor in use.
Thank you. If you heard three different trash compactors there, raise your hand. I heard them, three different ones. Today's call is about imagery. It's about symbols too, but we might get there next week. All right, we'll see. Imagery, it's in our words, it's things we can touch and feel and smell and see and hear, okay? When I just say trash compactor, these three people all have that trash compactor in mind, okay? We make a mistake in our talks, in our marketing, in everywhere we use words, which is everywhere, and everywhere where there's stories, which is everywhere in our company. Because we say the words trash compactor, and it's so clear to us. I mean, take the one that mesmerized the kids with Wendy. She thinks trash compactor, that whole scene is in her mind. And when she talks to her friends and they were there too, they immediately think of that. So then she writes a story, and maybe she's got a story from stage or whatever that involves a trash compactor. In Wendy's mind, that trash compactor is there when she says the words trash compactor. If you you just understood the keys to the universe or the founding part of it, if you understood my words, that in Wendy's head, she says those words trash compactor and all that is there for her. If you understood that, it's so important. Raise your hand. Did you get what I said? For Wendy, and if it's not 100%, I want everybody to understand this. When Wendy says trash compactor, that trash compactor and all the kids and being mesmerized, she just immediately thinks of that. And it's all there with just those words. If you heard that, this is crucial for the next stage. Raise your hand. I want 100%. Did you all hear that? Okay, that's everybody. All entrepreneurs at some point make this mistake. Because Wendy just goes, trash compactors, and she's imagining kids and mesmerized and so on, and her story goes on that, you know, and I wanted a moment that's just like the trash compactor moment, you know, right? For my clients, right? She could actually do that if she let us in on it. But everybody but Yvonne over there is going, well, at home, and we never use it. And Andrew going, like, the thing breaks, okay? She has lost her audience. Because she assumed, because it's so full and rich for her, that whole trash compactor is there. And then nobody steps forward to buy or take the next step. And she's wondering why, because there's this, you know, of course it's mesmerizing. And you want to mesmerize people with whatever the point is that she's going to make. Something about mesmerizing and kids, that they're fun and so on. And Yvonne's got in her head, yeah, whatever. I don't have any idea of that. It's just like something you don't use. Andrew's going like, man, the thing breaks. They will not step forward. They are not at all seeing what Wendy wants them to see. If you got that, raise your hand. These are keys to the universe here. Yvonne and Andrea are not hearing, if Wendy just says trash compactor, they have their own trash compactor in their heads. So if she just uses those words, and we do it all the time, and assumes they're gonna see all that, and then build something on it, she's lost her audience. Imagery in our stories, it's things we touch and smell and see and taste and hear. It's our senses. We need to let our audience, we need to let our readers in on the trash compactor that's inside us. And we don't do it. Why? Because Wendy reads the story early on to her family members and to her kids. And they're howling, and they're right with her, and they're like, yes, mesmerizing, because they were there, they're in on it. So she tested it out on her own close-in audience, and they all get it too, so they miss it. Our audience can't get inside our heads, we assume too much. It's just like Jamie, it's a different kind of assumption. We make assumptions because we're too close to our stuff. Jamie assuming, and thank you for that, I know you got it last on the call on Tuesday, Jamie, like, you know, we all know relationship marketing is important these days, and, well, that's Jamie. That's like the person just sitting there in the audience going like, where's lunch? No, they're not. They're thinking other things, but, you know, let's get rid of that editor, right? But they have other things on their mind, like, man, I'm so busy today, or whatever it is. Making assumptions about where they are in the moment, making assumptions, and we got to go further back. With imagery, it's the same thing. It's like, as I say anything, that trash compactor, that's not what they have in mind. They've got something else. So I need descriptive words. And I think of like Andrea's, you know, crunch of metal. Can you hear that? Can you see it? Like, that's an image, okay? The crunch of metal, that's an image working. Can we have an idea of her trash compactor that's different from, say, Wendy's, for instance? So, because in the crunch of metal, it's any of the senses. I can hear it crunching. I can maybe see that something has, you know, smashed. And she could even add more things, the crunch of metal. And if it's a trash compactor, and maybe if she'd elaborate on the story, I don't know, we could make something up here, that she'd already put a bunch of garbage in. And that it had been sitting there for days, and it was really smelly. Smelled like banana peels and old sour milk. Now, are you seeing more details of what might have been? I'm elaborating on Andrea's trash compactor. So if Andrea is writing a story about her trash compactor and it's anywhere in our marketing, anywhere in our sales, and she brings that to mind, with her words, now she can do something with that. Now that can play a role in the story. But we got to watch for those things where we're places where we're making assumptions, because we go forward and the audience is not seeing what we're seeing. We want them to feel it. We want them to be right there with us. And it's the senses that get us there. Remember on Tuesday, a couple of you said, oh, it's descriptive words. Like, we see Leia in print, and we see, they don't just tell it to us, but we see the lightsaber and we see Leia. And I said, we'll talk about that a little bit on Thursday. Imagery. Now, when it's a film, we actually see something there. So there's visual images, right? And we can also do that with our words, like I just did. If any of you felt more like that feeling when I talked about the sour milk and so on, if you had even a moment of that, raise your hand. Yes. Imagery makes the audience feel something. Not because I'm telling them how to feel. This is so important because it arises right within them, with the things I describe, how I touch, things I touch, all the senses, touch, feel, see, smell, taste, right? I could take it further. You know, it smelled like 50-day-old milk. I don't know, maybe it's not 50 days. It might not be the exact language. I don't know, I'll get it better later, right? Or don't worry about it. This is a draft of it, all right? It smelled like old sour milk that had been sitting on the ledge in the sun at 100 degrees for 10 days. Do you see I added more images, right? I added more things that we could, can you start to smell it? And it's like, and I feel the heat of the sun. And it's like, right? So the garbage had that sour milk in it and the old banana peels with the flies buzzing around it. In fact, there were fleas too. And they started like emanating out of that garbage, like, ooh. And I've got that feeling inside. And images can be used to feel anything. That's like kind of that moment, right? And it can bring us to other feelings, to love, to devotion, to, here's an image that I thought of just before this class. Here's a very different kind of image than that trash compactor one. Imagine a woman with, and we could just use a piece of story in our talks, for instance, like we can pull out one element of story. Remember we talked about that first class, turning the dial on even one of these elements and it makes such a difference. Let me tell you just a little story about a black shawl, right? I thought of this like 2 minutes before the class or so, so it's not elaborated in me, but here we go. Maybe it's a story about a man and a woman. Maybe he gave her a black shawl, sometime special. I don't know when it was, but I'll make that up later. Maybe it was a wedding gift. Maybe because her mom had a black shawl just like it and he knew it and he loved her so much. She wore that black shawl to every place that mattered to them. It was there on her at the symphony. This is all woven around one image, black shawl. It was there when they went to the symphony that night and the band was playing and I evoked more of the senses. And they played that special song that they heard on their wedding night, hearing, right? And then she wore it that night, or that day at the soccer game. It was a little chilly that day and they're watching their 6-year-old Johnny 6 years later. And he's on the soccer field and he's kicking the ball. But this was a day unlike any other. As they lowered him into the ground and she placed the shawl over the casket. How are you feeling now? Can you feel it? I haven't even told a story. It's all just woven around a single image of a black shawl. And if there's something that you might not even be able to describe, but you're feeling it in your guts right now, and we'd have to put words to it later, like Wendy and Mary Kay were trying to do at the beginning, it's like, I felt it, but now let me find the words. If you're feeling something through that black shawl, raise your hand. I didn't have that elaborated beforehand. I just thought of it just before the class, right? Here's an image. Here's that image. Here's that image. Moments, right? So when we understand, when we use things that we can touch and feel and see and taste and hear, it's that black shawl, not somebody else's, just like it was Andrea's trash compactor or Yvonne's trash compactor or Wendy's trash compactor. That's the power of imagery. It's not a trash compactor, it's this trash compactor. It's not any black shawl, it's this black shawl, that was the one that was on her shoulders when Johnny played his soccer game, all right? It was the one that he gave her. Now, the thing about imagery is, some people think that it's the be all and end all. It is extremely important. It changes the world. You just felt something. Think of it this way. If as an entrepreneur, we can make the person in front of us feel something, not make like power over, but evoke in them. If you think that might be important for your business, raise your hand. To have that person actually feel something? Are you kidding me? It's like the keys to the universe. Because if I tell them, listen, here's the 10 ways, remember features and benefits, right? Here's the 10 ways that my handy dandy thingamajiggy is going to help you. A, B, C, D, E, all in the head, and they don't care and they want to walk away. Let's say I'm a grief counselor. And I want that person to feel that, but it doesn't have to be about grief. It could be about love. It was about love until I turned it to grief in that last scene, right? It was more about love. It was about, and it could have turned something else. Maybe she could have placed a shawl on her daughter's shoulders as she was getting married. And people were saying, not a black shawl, a wedding? Are you kidding me? That's not good luck. But the daughter knew. And then it's about the bond between the mother and daughter. But the daughter knew that this shawl had been passed on for generations from mother to daughter to mother to daughter to mother to daughter. There was nothing else she was going to wear that day. She didn't care what anybody said. See how powerful? It's a black shawl, but it can be made to mean what I want it to mean. And this is the point that I want to make. Imagery is extremely powerful. But if it's not connected to the point, remember that piece about theme? Nobody's going to care. It's connected with those other story elements. And we can use imagery to understand the character better. We can use imagery to move the plot forward. We can use imagery to enhance conflict or make something or have us get the obstacles in the way of our protagonist even more, right? So it needs to be connected to the theme. Because if I just had that black shawl here, here, and here, people might feel something for a moment, but where does that go? Let's say I wanted to tell people that, she could have used something like this. We didn't use it, but I'm thinking about my photographer that I mentioned, the one who's alumni from this program. And she had mother-daughter photograph sessions. Well, maybe she has a story like that that actually happened to her that she wants to use. That might not be the exact details, but this shawl that was handed down from mother to daughter, and she just said, I'm going to do it. And maybe she's wanting to say that, hey, you know, daughter, you could take a stand for your mom. And like, I don't know where it's going. Whatever the point is, it better be a point that's related to the call to action, to the thing that we want them to do. Because otherwise that black shawl goes nowhere. I tell this, you know, beautiful imagery about a black shawl. And I'm saying, by the way, buy my peaches. They're really wonderful. What's the point that I'm making? And how does it enhance character? Imagery can be used to enhance all these things that we've already talked about. That's why I placed imagery here. Let me give you an example. This idea of writing about trash compactor was not random. And I have asked you, please watch Star Wars, because do we have a trash compactor in Star Wars? It's a very different kind of trash compactor, isn't it? And we can see that filmmakers have created images to enhance what we know about the characters, to support the theme, to do all the things that we've already, to move the plot forward. So somebody tell me about things you can touch and see and smell and feel and taste in that trash compactor that makes us go, ugh, in that movie. They've actually used it. Somebody tell me, do you remember the scene? You can go back and watch it after the class. What do you remember from the trash compactor scene? Don't forget to watch Star Wars, right? Anybody remember?
I remember.
Talk to me about it.
Luke and Leia and the pilot.
Han Solo?
Yeah, is it just the three of them, I think, end up in the trash compactor. And the walls are like closing in and the trash is like all around them and they're trying to figure out what are they going to do to escape? How are they going to get out? And I remember Luke is like on his little walkie-talkie trying to get his friends outside of the trash compactor to shut it down so that they won't get smushed. And
yes, thank you. Exactly. So you're recalling some of the plot elements, like the things that happen. And the plot is like, and the story is about not just the plot, the things that happen, but how it affects that main character. And always there's a desire. And then there's things that get in the way of that desire if we're going to be hooked on that story. All right. So thank you, Wendy, for the essential elements of the plot, the things that were happening. And that I want to walk through them again so we can see how imagery works in connection with all of the pieces that we've been talking about up until now in both story series. All right. So as Wendy said, they're in the midst of a big fight. They've just tried to save Princess Leia, but they don't have a very good plan. All right. They just got in there, and she's like, this is like some rescue. It's like, and she grabs a gun and is like, get in there. Leia, she just takes over. So it teaches us something about who Princess Leia is, because she's very forthright and she like acts, you know. And then they all get kicked into the trash, into the trash, right? Because otherwise they're about to be killed by the stormtroopers. Do you remember now? So the desire is they want to go save the galaxy, right? And there's always both a long-term desire and an immediate desire. What's the immediate desire?
Getting out of the trash compactor.
Well, and even before that, getting out of the line of fire.
Right.
And saving the princess, right? And saving the princess. So there's always these like little mini desires en route, right? And in order to get to the big desire. If you're with me so far, raise your hand. Because life is just like that, isn't it? I want this to ace this lunch because I want to grow my company, because it's just like that. You know, I want to lose 5 pounds because I want to look really good in the wedding dress today, or whatever it is, right? It's like one desire on the route to the other desire. So they're trying to get out of the line of fire. They're trying to save Princess Leia. And in a story, do you remember last time? So I want to pick up another story element here and then take it deeper with imagery. Okay, so our call is about imagery, 1 point. But I want to pick up a few more pieces because we can learn more about those pieces and we'll understand better how imagery works, 1 point. Okay. So remember, I think it was last week when I said, in a story, stories grab us because, remember, they're about survival and they're about like stuff that happens. And things just get worse for our protagonist, for the one who's at the center of the story. Remember if I just say, you know, hey, I talked to Rick on, I told that non-story story that, you know, nobody was listening. It wandered and it had no point, okay? And so you didn't want to listen about Rick. But you might want to listen if I go, listen, I've just been feeling like we're all so cut off during COVID. And I was feeling it myself. I miss my daughter like crazy. You can hear the pull of desire. And here I'm at the center of the story, right? And I just felt like, I just want to reach out to some people who've known me for a long, long time. So I just sent a quick note to my friend Rick. And we hadn't talked in like 10 years, I don't think. And within an hour, he called back, or he texted back and said, can we meet tonight? Can we meet tomorrow night? Anytime this week is good, right? And you're more interested in this story because there's the pull of desire. I so want to, because we're in a disconnected world. That's a problem out there. And I so want to connect, and I want to connect with old friends. Old friends matter more than ever. Remember, that was the theme, one of the possible themes from last time. Now, when it's life, that's what actually happened. And then we just got together and we spoke, oh, but you're not interested anymore. But remember the example I gave, oh, Yvonne, I did this when you weren't here. So I pick up the phone. I didn't think you'd mind. I pick up the phone, I call Yvonne and I say, hey, you know, I need, I think that's how I did it. Yeah, I need Andrea's phone number. You know how this goes because you've heard me teach this before. Hey, I need Andrea's phone number. Will you please give it to me? Why the hell are you asking me for Andrea's phone number? And don't you know she's missing right now? Click. Stories are like life with a conflict writ large because we want to understand how to get through that. Remember survival? In our stories, the protagonist is going to try to do something and they'll do the least effort, because isn't that true? Think about your people. Don't they want to do the least? Because you want to do the least to solve the problem. Have you seen that around you, that people are always going to do the least? I need Andrea's phone number. I'll just pick up the phone and call Yvonne, because she'll, you know, I'm not going to go search every page of Google to find her phone number. That'd be dumb. I'm going to take the least effort. When's the last time that you knew that the absolute least effort and the only one thing actually got you to all the way to where you want to go? Right? I mean, sometimes maybe it works that way. But sometimes life feels like, oh, things happen. Things get in the way. Our stories grab us when things get in the way. So in a story, it's like I pick up the phone and it's like, what? Right? It doesn't happen the way it happened with Rick, or you're not interested. So if I said, you know, I could say conflict, more and more obstacles. I could say he texted me right back. And then I started thinking, oh my God, I haven't seen him in 10 years. I wonder what he's going to think of me in my life. I'm an entrepreneur. He's a prof. I know those are very different things. He might not even like me anymore. Like if I start doing that, now you're more interested again because there's conflict. It's time inner conflict. Okay. So stories, we're interested when more and more obstacles, more and more conflicts come up, like the trash compactor. That's why I want to talk about the trash compactor, all right? So they're being shot at. They do the least effort to solve it. Hey, let's go down here. At least we'll be safe. Oh no, we're in a trash compactor. No worries, we'll do the least effort. We'll just brace it. Oh, but the thing breaks. No problem, I'll call C-3PO. He'll be able to get us out of that. Oh no, C-3PO is bothered by stormtroopers right now and can't answer. And now we're hooked. And the images support all this conflict, support all this, support us learning more about who the characters are too and what matters to them, right? Which is gonna drive our interest. So, and worse things happen too. Like Luke is taken under by this slime thing, right? It's like, oh no, where's Luke, right? So, and the smelliness of it, the awfulness of it, the snake thing that pulls Luke under, all of that helps us feel with them. They're in a bind. They're in an awful position. Oh, it's going to be hard for them. It helps us understand the conflict for them. If you get that in basic terms, it's like it heightens the conflict. All the images heighten the conflict. Raise your hand. Yeah. And the images help us understand the relationships to the character and drive our interest in that character too. So when Luke goes under, Han Solo, the pilot, he goes, kid, you know? And it starts getting us to understand that these characters are connected and they start mattering to us more. And all the extra characters, by the way, we're only interested in them as far as they'll tell us more about the central character. It's always only one thing. You know, what's that one character want? And we learn more about Luke, and we learn that Luke is actually more of a leader than we think in that scene. So there's hints of what will happen later, because before that, he's kind of looking like the bumbling sidekick, isn't he? But we learn more about the stuff that's inside Luke that has us rooting for him even more, because he's the one that gets him out of the jam, and all of that imagery supports our knowing of that. If this next piece about imagery is making sense, that supports the other pieces of the story, that I could reuse it right now, all I need is a black shawl, that it better be connected with the point I'm making. If you understood those key things about imagery, raise your hand. Freaking awesome. You guys are like, this is story mastery. Most entrepreneurs out there don't know this stuff, that you now like tweak the dial on any one of these. And you change your talks, you change your copy, you change how that conversation you have with somebody. Let me just give this one last example. Conversation you have with somebody. Somebody's talking about something and you know it's important to them. Yeah, I miss that, you know, red ball that I used to play with my dog. There's an image, there's a tale of an image. Well, why does that red ball matter so much? Tell me more. You're diving into an image. It's everyday conversations too, right? Well, I don't know, maybe it's because I had one when I was a kid and every ball that I've ever had has always been taken from me except that one. Oh, now they're telling you something about their inner journey through investigating that image of the ball, the thing we can see. So we only painted it with our words, but we can see it. And now they're telling you about, oh, I've always lost everything. And maybe it's related to your work, or maybe it's not. Maybe it's Carly and it's about spaces. How does that relate to space? You know? I always lost it because like it was always these cramped little rooms. We could never find everything. Everything was always lost there. Oh, now we're talking about space. All right. Imagery. We didn't talk about symbols yet, but you can see that an image can turn into something that means more than just the thing itself. I already did it with a shawl. Let me just give you this one last piece. This shawl starts to mean connection. It starts to mean love. It starts to mean, what does the lightsaber mean for Luke? It's just a thing that zaps people. No, it's not. Not in that story. An image, something we can touch or feel or smell or taste or hear, starts to take on meaning beyond itself. That's why it can connect with the theme, that thing we're trying to say. And it meant different things depending on all the other story elements. In my story about she placed it over the grave, it means something of love lost. We need to know more about the story to know exactly what it means, but we know it takes on more meaning. In the story with the daughter, it's about connection and love, and you can do it even if other people tell you no. Depends on the other story elements, but the images start to take on meaning where the person's gonna feel it inside them, and we're not telling them, you need to do these three things because here's the benefits and let me tell you what you should do, and they just wanna push you away. It starts to come up in them. and they start to identify with that hero of the journey in your story. And they want to be that too. And we're evoking feelings in them that can help them take the next step. And that's why I don't teach this to the evil ones. Because this, all of this has the assumption that we're all here to serve and support that person in front of us. Because this stuff is really powerful stuff. Can you, if you hear, because we were actually evoking things inside people, right? If you heard what I just said, like this is ninja power. So I don't teach the evil ones, raise your hand. I'm kind of only half joking about the evil ones. You get it, right? Thank you, powerful stuff. All right, we're coming to the end of our time today. Please remember to go register for Story Freedom. Here's what we can do in an hour and a half. Think of what we can do in 3 days. Don't miss it. You know, it's my gift to you, right? And then there's the gift of the 2 hours, even one tweak in one part of your talk. What could that do? Not to mention that I suggest you get those two-page summary of your story written, of your talk written. It will allow you the deadline to get it written. And even if you don't, you can be listening to the feedback that I give to other people and it will skyrocket your talk. So keep trying to give you things to help you move you forward in multiple different ways, all right? So please take advantage of them. Please go on that call with meetingwithyvonne.com. We bought that because it's easy to remember for you, all right? Don't forget to take advantage of all of these things that are here to serve and support you in this community. Keep asking your questions as well. So, and keep connecting with each other. There's gold here, all right? So one aha, one inspired action. I love this part of the call. So, and again, I know we often, like just book out 2 hours for yourself, or just book out 2 hours. We often go past the hour, 2 o'clock Mountain Time. Go post them in the Facebook page if you don't have time for this part. Come back and listen to them afterwards because it might be that aha that Carly said that is exactly what Yvonne needed to know. But she didn't pull out that thread from this call, Carly did. So I love this piece. What did you actually hear? What's your aha? What's your inspired action? Otherwise, this is meaningless. How am I actually going to use this on the core in my company? And that changes the world. All right, Barb, you're up in my, and what did I just give you? I just gave you a why for doing this, right? There's all to pull the thread of desire. So I'm hoping you'll stay or come back and listen to this because this part's really important. All right, so Barb, I want to-
Well, my aha is, how powerful imagery is, and to notice that, we know that, but to notice it, how that works in our lives. And my action is to work on imagery about copyright that would attract people.
Beautiful. Yes, because there's something that's happening in the pit of their stomach and there's something they can touch, taste, smell, feel, hear that's going to help evoke that. Yes. Beautiful. Brilliant. Thank you. Andrea.
Sorry, I was having a little mouse problem there. That people want to do the least amount of work to solve the problem. And that basically everything has to lead to that. So there needs to be richness to the imagery, but such simplicity to the end goal.
Mm. You pulled out a thread. I taught that in just a few seconds, but it's key to how story works. So thank you for underlining that. And your inspired action. One check-offable action, so you're bringing it out into your world in some way.
My gosh, it's honestly to go back and make sure that the in the work that I'm doing, that it's really simple for the client that I'm writing for and for their client to make that next step.
Yes, that's also why this is related to the teaching about one yes at a time. Hey, come to this talk, now come work with me. No, too many yeses. Nobody wants to do that. Everyone wants to make the least effort. Hey, come and listen to this talk and I've got this free gift and it's really easy for you to download it. It's only gonna take you a few minutes to read it and it's gonna change this and this and that for you. One yes at a time because everyone wants to make the least effort. Thank you. Beautiful. Yes. Yvonne.
Writing from the senses and using imagery to invoke feelings. However, it has to be connected to our one point.
Thank you. And there's the theme of today's call. That's like concisely said. That's the whole of it. Thank you. I didn't even read it out today, but you got it. Good. And what's your inspired action?
Reserving my spot for Story Freedom.
Thank you. That is a very inspired action. I encourage you all to do that. You can even do this during this last part of the call or right after the call. Please do so. Thank you. Marla, you're up.
I think it's the value of imagery.
Right before this call, hey, imagery has something to do with my business. Good on you. You guys got it. Thank you, Marla. Yes. And the and your inspired action.
Is adding imagery to my what I'm producing.
Yes. Most writing out there in business is like so devoid of imagery and doesn't have to be. And it, there can be a richness and aliveness when we use it in even in simple ways. Thank you. Yes. Beautiful. Carly.
Well, this has been a really exciting call for me. This is right up my alley. Just the name of my company is Cora, and it means the essence of space. And so you take in the sights, the sounds, the everything, right? And so I have a whole exercise that I do with clients for visioning their spaces, and I use images. I have never really, though, connected it to story like this before. And this has just been some huge ahas for me. And I haven't really been able to verbally explain my process very well either in how I'm communicating with others and trying to show them how the idea process. Anyway, so I'm really excited because I'm going to take some time. My inspired action is I'm going to take some time and describe what the process is and through the lens of what we learned today about story.
Fantastic. Yes. This is game changer. Game changer for you, Carly. Yeah. So good. Yes. Dottie, you're up.
It's game changer for me too. This was fantastic. Fantastic. I loved tying it together. The story, creating the emotion, there being a system. And I just am excited to use this with my women.
Fantastic. So, and what's your inspired action? Like, so what's the one checkoffable thing you're going to do?
I'm going to make a list. I've already started it with the points that I would like to create a story so that I can have a list of the best little sentences that would evoke the feelings that would help people come to a good conclusion.
Brilliant and beautiful. Thank you, Dottie. Yes, beautiful action to take. Here's the things that I want to get across. Now let me do this in story. Yes, that is using the pieces that we're doing in a beautiful way. Mary Kay, you're up.
I think the aha just came to me now. I used to think that I couldn't describe the feel, but I can.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. And what's your inspired action?
I'm going to review the story I have in my talk and just go over it again. And I have a second one, so I'll see which one.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yes. Every time we do a call, you're going to see new things in your talks, in your networking, in every piece that we do. Thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. Yes. I'm going back over and say, oh, right, there's another layer. Wendy, you're up.
The thing that sticks out to me the most about today is just the reminder that there is no story without the conflict. There has to be the obstacles for us to overcome in order to have, I guess there's a story, but it's not like that, like, story that pulls you in when everything's just going smoothly.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And some of you might not have remembered that from anatomy. It's just one line in there, but what every story needs, or it falls, is tension. It's right in Anatomy of an Empowering Story, but what does that actually mean? How does it work? How do we use it? It's a deep dive required to get that. So thank you for noticing and underlining that. Super important. Otherwise, it's like, oh, I saw Rick and we got together. And there's so many people think they're telling stories when they do that. It's like, we don't care. Thank you. And your inspired action.
I'm excited about this 2-page summary of my talk. I think my talk is going to be all about the garden place.
Fantastic. So yes, getting it. So your checkoffable action is to write the first paragraph or get it, so this checkoffable is something that you know you're doing.
Yeah. So I was writing down, okay, problem, like what's the problem? What's the desire? What I want to kind of figure out, like answering those questions, like why am I telling the garden place story? And how does it fit into all those pieces?
Exactly. Thank you. You guys are doing such great work. Thank you so much for playing Full Out. This has been an outrageously wonderful call in my books, because I hear you hearing it. I hear you taking it up. I hear all the ways you're applying it. Well done. Makes my day. Thank you so much. And that puts me at the hero as the hero of the journey. Sorry, but there's just a spin-off effect for me. Thank you. You guys are doing brilliant work. Have a fantastic week, everybody. And I will see you on Tuesday and Thursday, as always. Bye-bye for now.